this evening. And I want you to go with me tonight in your Bibles. We're going to 1 Samuel tonight, the book of 1 Samuel this evening. Our look at 1 Thessalonians on Sunday morning, I'm going to try to get back to that. Kind of been getting into the Psalms here lately as well, but I do want to get back to that series of going through 1 Thessalonians in the morning. But tonight, we finished the book of Acts, you know that. But we're going to go look at something tonight in 1 Samuel 19 after everything that happened yesterday evening with the former president. I just got to thinking about things. I do believe in divine protection. Amen. I do believe God can do amazing things. I do believe that what happened there was just so close, so close. I would like to go back and see the video a little bit slower, and because I'm hearing that he might have moved his head at just the nick of time to for it to be what it was. I'm glad it wasn't. Like I said this morning, I'm glad it wasn't what it almost was. I'm glad it wasn't. But I am glad that God does watch over people and watch over His leaders. So you say, preacher, are you saying? I'm not saying much of anything about all that, but I believe God can give divine protection. So God's protected us from things that we probably don't even realize. Amen. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, what has God protected you from? And there might be things that happen in your life you don't even know that God did something. You might learn about it in heaven, right? And you might have been closer than you realize at some point in your life, but the Lord stepped in and intervened and helped you. And I believe David certainly had a lot of those cases, but we see in this chapter, two or three instances here of where he got spared. And I'm glad for God doing stuff like that. I mean, you know, if I said, well, what has God spared you from? You might say, I'm not King David. The Lord's never spared me from much. Not a real eventful life. But think about it. What if he had done you like he did Job and just let the devil go at you? Thank God he hadn't done that. Amen. Because whatever we do go through or are going through, as bad as it might be, could always be worse. Amen. Right? And we always think of others, perhaps, that have it worse than we do. So I want to preach to you tonight on this thought of God's protection for King David here. Let's just look at a few of the verses. We're going to look at this chapter tonight, but let's look at a few verses here to get started. 1 Samuel 19, verse 1. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul my father seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his service. He called what his father was doing sin. You see that? He said, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee were very good. For he did put his life in his hand, and he slew the Philistine. Speaking of Goliath, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it and did rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things, and Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them in a great slaughter, and they fled from him. Well, that's all good, right? Verse 9, and the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand upon his harp there. Verse 19, and Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Two more times it is saying in this chapter, David fled and escaped. God protected him and God helped him. God had anointed him to be the next king. And David had some, we've looked at a couple of Psalms recently, it's like, you know, where David's probably thinking, my goodness, am I ever going to get there? You know, God said I'd be the next king. Am I ever going to get there? Well, God kept protecting him and helping him. Amen, right? And I'm glad God does it. Let's pray. Father, Lord, guide and direct us tonight as we just look at this passage of Scripture tonight. Help us, Lord, to draw some things from it that will be a help to us, Lord, in our walk with you and in our life. And I ask it in Jesus' name tonight. Amen. I'm glad God knows what's going on and God knows what's happening and God knows what He's doing. Amen. Right? And we do know that God, the Bible says, He puts up kings and He takes down kings, and He ultimately is the king. Right? Thank God for that. There's a story of during the Hundred Years' War in 1346, the English army of King Edward III met a French battalion. The king's son, the prince, led his soldiers into battle while his father watched from a distance. Soon into battle, the prince sent word to his father, again and again, we need help. No help came. He kept sending, you know, tell my father, the king, we need help. He kept doing it over and over again. Finally, the father said, go tell my son, I'm not so inexperienced as a commander that I don't know when help is needed. Nor am I so careless a father that I would not send help if it was needed. Go tell him he's doing a good job. What a time to get encouragement from your father when you want help. Amen, right? You know, he's like, hey, I appreciate that encouragement, but tell him I need some help down here. You know, I think sometimes God can put us through stuff like that. But aren't you glad He's watching? Amen. God's watching and God knows what's happening. God knows what's going on. The Bible teaches us that God is watching over His children. God is watching over us. I'm glad. I don't know what's coming. I don't know what's around the corner. We don't know, as we saw last night, you don't know what might happen the next minute, but God does. Amen. And we're going to keep our eyes on the Lord. We're going to keep following Jesus. He's always around the corner. He's always, you know, I said this morning, we're in the future now. We talked about what we're going to do. Well, we're there now. So we're in the future. So the Lord's always in the future. He is the great I am. He's always present tense, right? I mean, past, present, future, God's always there. And I'm glad of that. And God knows what's going on in our life, and He always knows what's best, and He knew how to help David. So let me give you three thoughts tonight about this. First of all, just sort of an analytical outline of this chapter. Number one is this, we see the help of a friend. Now, I'm talking about Jonathan. We see, number one, the help of a friend. Jonathan helped David. They had a great relationship. Saul, things went sour with Saul on David because he was envious. We were in the Psalms recently and we were talking about how for envy he wanted to kill David. For envy he wanted to get rid of David. It's a type of Christ in that same sense. It was just envy that moved them to want to be rid of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it was envy in the heart of King Saul that he didn't like David being so popular. More popular than he was. So he had a brazen desire in his heart to be rid of David. And he shared that with his officers. He shared it with his soldiers. He even shared it with his son, who really was great friends or best friends with David. So he tried to involve his son in this. Now think about that, folks. You know, when parents in schools try to involve children in sinful, wicked things, that's just a shame. But we see it today, don't we? We see it today in our schools. We see the Bible out and sinful, wicked things coming in. Isn't that a shame today? And that breaks our heart to say, well, you can't give them the Bible, but you can give them that nonsense. And you can give them that wickedness right there. And children today are exposed. Now some children, they learn bad words, they learn bad habits, they learn to watch bad television shows and all of this. They learn it right there in the home oftentimes. And the sad thing here is, Jonathan is watching his father get filled with bitterness and envy and hatred to the point of violence and to the point of murder. I mean, that's not good for a young man to have to see his father going down that road. So David here, though, gets the help of a friend that thankfully was not poisoned by that. Aren't you glad a lot of children don't get poisoned by what they're exposed to? Now look, you got to be careful today with the internet. You got to have some measures of protection for children today, right? The exposure is just ridiculous. What is at their fingertips and what they can get their hands on. And parents sometimes are at a loss as to how to put those measures there, because sometimes the kids are smarter with that stuff that they're using, those devices, than sometimes the parents or grandparents are. Can I get amen right there? You say, I need your help for something. But sometimes they're good at, bypassing things or hiding things. Unfortunately, those things are even there for them. You know, used to you just had to worry about letting them spend the night or spend some time at a friend's house, and you didn't know then what they might be exposed to or what they might see or hear, right? Or what might happen when they're out of your home and maybe in somebody else's home, and that's sad that happens sometimes, but sometimes it can be right under your own roof because of this internet business. Y'all with me tonight? Is that true? And it's just a shame that these things are happening. But Jonathan here was seeing it from his own father. He was watching this happen. But again, I'm glad that he didn't get poisoned by that same bitterness and that same hatred that he saw in his father. He withstood the pressure. He even stood up against it. Now, that's hard to do, especially when you're dealing with family or a child dealing with a parent. Some people have had to deal with that, right? Have this hard, difficult conversation about these things. But thankfully, God has given all of us a moral compass called a conscience. I'm glad we're saved. We have the Holy Spirit. That's better than a conscience, right? But God has given everybody a conscience. I've said before, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you ought to have a heightened conscience. It ought to go up several notches on the sensitivity of being able to know when something's wrong in your life. I'm glad God's given us, that's a protection God's given to all of us, isn't it? And that's a red flag that God has instilled in all of us. And our upbringing certainly has a strong factor in our life and our outcome. But ultimately it is the individual's choices that decide what their life's going to be. Some kids they learn from their parents and they follow the good example. Sometimes they see a bad example, and thankfully, and oftentimes they say, well, I'm not going to do that in my life. So thank God when they make those decisions. But Jonathan here was in quite a dilemma. He wants to help David, but yet at the same time, he wants to help his dad. He would love to see them two get reconciled. He would love his, so he has this hard talk conversation, and it seemed to have worked at the very start. It seemed to have worked. So we know Saul is not a good example in the Bible. We know that Saul did the wrong things, and Saul got proud, and Saul everything went wrong with Saul. So God said, I'm going to have to remove him. Of course, by the way, it was just another example of Israel getting what they wanted when it wasn't what they needed. You know, when the Bible says God's going to turn certain people over to a reprobate mind, he's just saying, go ahead. You think that's what you want? You can have it. And boy, when God takes his hand off and lets those consequences roll. But I'm talking tonight, thank God, whenever he says, I'm going to put my hand of mercy and help and protection. I'm going to give you that hedge of protection, right? So David was certainly enjoying that because his heart was towards God. So here he is, though. He's trying to make a decision. I want to be on the side of right, but does that mean I'm going to be against my dad? I wish my dad was on the side of right so that we could both be on the right side of this matter. Boy, he was in a dilemma, wasn't he? He was in a very, very tough spot there in his life, but he had to go against his dad, and he tried to help David out. But it didn't work. I mean, whenever it looked like it was going to work and his dad said, okay, you're right, it's going to be okay. Jonathan goes back to David and says, look, David, I've had a talk with my dad. You're okay. You can come back. Well, that was a little nerve-wracking because Saul's already tried to go after him a couple of times at this point. So he's like, come on in here. And he would play that harp and he would play that good music. That evil spirit would come over of Saul and he would play that harp and thank God that evil spirit would run out when good music was playing. Amen. Thank God for good music. But it didn't work this time. He was just so seething as David came back and you can about imagine if the Bible says Saul's sitting there and he's got his hand on his javelin. And David's got his hand on a harp. Now I would think, I can't play instruments, but I would think if you're playing a harp, you ought to be relaxed and everybody around you ought to be a little bit relaxed, you know? I kind of imagine that was some tense playing because I wonder how much David was paying attention to his harp playing because he had his eye on that javelin and that hand too, don't you think? He's a soldier himself now. He's aware of these things and he's watching it. And he's probably praying. He might have been praying, Lord, you usually calm him down when I play this song. Lord, I'm looking in his eyes right now and I'm trying not to look him straight in the eye, but Lord, I can tell, he's just seething over there. He's burning within and he's got his hand on that thing. He fled, he escaped, he got away just in the nick of time and that javelin hit the wall. Thank God there was somebody there, though, that loved him and cared for him and warned him. Even though he brought him back into it, he was able to warn him and help him. So what you do like Jonathan sometimes, and you just try to help people the best you can. You talk to them. You pray for them. You just say, you might be trying to reconcile two people like he was doing. You might be trying to help a loved one, which is sometimes the hardest conversations to have, is if you're trying to help a parent or a child or a relative. That can be kind of hard sometimes, right? But you do it, you pray, and you just say, God, I need your help with this, right? Amen? You know what I'm talking about. It's that way in soul winning, but it's that way with family as well. So he did what he could. He thought he had helped the situation, but Saul was just bent on going after David and being rid of David. The hatred and the poison of bitterness. Boy, that's a terrible thing, isn't it? An unforgiving spirit, it'll hurt you. Amen? Y'all with me? An unforgiving spirit will hurt you. And it certainly did hurt Saul, and it hurt Saul's family. It hurt those closest to him. So we see there the help of a friend. But number two, I want to see the help of a spouse. Now, again, this is King Saul's child. So, picking up there in verse 8 through 17, Saul's daughter gets involved in this thing. Let's see, verse 11. Look at verse 11. So Saul sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, which was David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. There it is, second time he fled and escaped. Who helped him this time? Saul's son? No, this time it's Saul's daughter. Saul's pretty messed up. I mean, he's going against his own kids here. I mean, his son's best friend and his daughter's husband. And that's who he's trying to kill. But here, Michal, that's her name, helped him and helped him escape. He listened to his wife. That was a good time to listen to his wife. You know, a lot of men be too proud to listen to the wife. But she said, if you stay around here tonight, you're going to be dead tomorrow. That's what she told him. So he listened to her. Now the story goes on to say that she said, you get on out of here, you go, I'm going to let you down by the wall here and you escape. And what she did was she took some stuff. I won't get into all that right now, but she put some stuff in the bed, made it look like he was in the bed. Sleep. So they come in, where's David? Well, he's asleep. Saul says, bring him to me in the bed. He's sick. He can't get up. Bring him to me in the bed, and I'm going to kill him right there. So they bring that bed in there. They plop it down and say, we got him now. They pull the covers back, and it's not him. And boy, he's mad now. And who's he mad at now? His own daughter. I mean, envy has really taken over this man to this point, that this is getting pretty bad here. Now, David, again, he's becoming a strong leader at this point. He's headed to the kingdom at this point. You got to learn who your best advisors are. Hey, men, can I say this? Your best advisor, probably, besides God, is your wife. Can I get amen right there? Listen to her, fellas. She'll help you. Amen. Okay. All right. Amen. They were faint at first, but okay. She'll help you out. You know, the Bible says, teaches a good wife balances a man out. She is your help meet, a helper fit for you that God gave to you. Isn't that right? And she can balance and complete. I believe the Bible teaches all of that. Whenever God gives that to you, and it's a good team that helps one another out. You ought to be able to get it. I said this morning, you can get encouragement in the fellowship of your church. Hopefully you can get it at home in that relationship for those that are married, right? Hopefully there is a team there. Hopefully you are of one mind and one heart and one soul, one flesh. As the Bible says, God took two and made one, right? And you encourage one another and you help one another, and you certainly are a team there to support each other. And thankfully in this case, at this point, David had some of that. At this point right here. Somebody has given this, I'll just give this to you real quick. Five stays for a great marriage. Five stays for a great marriage. Number one, stay in love with Jesus. You know, if you work on that relationship, number one, that'll help you with other relationships. Y'all believe that? Number one, stay in love with Jesus. Number two, stay committed to having a great marriage. Look, I think people ought to learn to stay committed to that thing right there. Don't joke about divorce. People say cut the word can't out of your dictionary. Do the same thing with the word divorce. And say we're going to stay committed to this thing. So stay in love with Jesus. Stay committed to this marriage. Number three, stay grateful for God's blessings. And express it. Thank God for you, right? And let it be known. Number four, stay open and honest with one another. Y'all believe communication is good for a marriage? It was in this case. She said, you need to get out of here. It was good. She communicated that to him. And he listened in that case. Stay open and honest with one another. Fifth thing is this, stay regular in church attendance. You think that'll help a marriage? That'll help a marriage too. Amen. So stay committed. So we see there the help of his friend. We see there the help of his spouse, both of which were the children of the man that's trying to kill him. Because the man that's trying to kill him has just lost all control at this point right here. So let's look at this one though. Number three is there's the help of God. I'm glad for the help of God, right? Now what did he do? In verse 18, it gets interesting here. Verse 18, David fled and escaped. Third time. David fled and escaped and came to Samuel, the man of God. That's a good place to go when you're in trouble. Amen. He went to Samuel. You know what? That's the picture, folks, I believe. Go to the man of God. God's given you a pastor. God's given you a church family. You go to the man of God. You go to the place where you find the Word of God. Right? And that's what we need in our lives. We need to be able to have somebody we can go to that will steer us toward the Lord. Somebody who can pray for us. And Samuel certainly did pray for David, right? Prayed for Saul too. We need to be able to go to the right person, the right kind of people, our church family, and all of that God has given to us so that we can get the Word and we can get prayer, and iron sharpeneth iron, so we go to the right kind of people. But some strange things happen here, and I'll just describe it to you. The last part there, Saul hears about where he's at. He sends to Ramah there where he is, and he sends some people there. And the Spirit of the Lord came on his servants and his soldiers, and they began to prophesy, it says. Basically, it just means they began to praise God. So Saul gets report. Your soldiers got down there, and they got in the midst of Samuel. Next thing you know, they're down there prophesying and praising God. Samuel done rubbed off on them pretty good down there, you know, but that ain't what you sent them down there to do. He said, well, I'll send another group. And they went down there. Guess what? Same thing. They're down there praising God. They got around Samuel. Now here they are praising God. Send another group. Okay, well, here they go. Saul says, well, I'll just, you can't, you know, you want to do a job, do it yourself. I'm going. Saul goes down there, and next thing you know, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came on him, and there he is prophesying and praising God. You say, why is that interesting? It's interesting because of this. When you get into chapter 20, guess who got out of there while all that was happening? David. David fled and escaped again. Only God could have helped that situation right there, right? Saul didn't know what he was doing. His soldiers didn't know what they were doing. All it was saying is this. That's just God saying, look, I want you, Saul, to know you're not in charge. I am. And God brought something in there that was beyond his control, Saul. And it's just a message. And sometimes, as I started out saying, folks, things happen in our life and things go on sometimes. And we just need to step back and say, that was God, and we need to praise him for it. Saul here is not praising God voluntarily at this point. He just sort of had to because God did this thing. You know, folks, there's coming a day every knee's going to bow and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And some are going to be doing that against their own will, unfortunately. But it's going to happen. Amen. Everybody, you can tell people right now, they can curse God, they can shake their fist at God, and you can just confidently say, there's coming a day you're going to praise Him. There's coming a day you're going to believe on Jesus. There's coming a day you're going to bow your knee and you're going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And they'll say, you're crazy. It'll never happen in my lifetime. Oh, I didn't say it happened in your lifetime. That's up to you. But it's definitely going to happen in the next lifetime, the judgment day. God is in control. God gets the last laugh. God gets the last say. God is always in control. And God was already moving Saul out and bringing David in. It didn't look much like it to David, but he kept escaping. He kept getting by. He kept getting out of one situation after another. And, you know, again, I'm not trying to apply all that to last night's news and all of that. And I don't want to go too far with that comparison. I'm not going to read that into the Bible. But I believe we got a God that can do things like that. People saying, you know, God redirect the bullet and stuff like that. Yes, He can. He can, but I want to be careful there because some innocent bystander got killed. And then you got to blame that on God if you're not careful. But all of God's ways and thoughts are higher than ours. I'm just trusting. God has protected leaders, world leaders. God has put them up, put them down. And here's what it is, folks. People say, well, just wasn't your time, just wasn't his time. Why? Because God's in control of that. If we leave it in his hands, amen. Aren't you glad you serve a God that's sovereign? Aren't you glad you serve a God that is a God of providence and who's in control of things? That's all I'm trying to say with this, folks, is David got protection because God had his hand upon him. I know he had his hand upon him. Amen. Right? And God was watching out for David. And you probably could read other things into that. And some people do about that chapter right there. But time after time, he fled and escaped and got away. Even in a miraculous way the last time. He got help from a friend. Thank God for good friends. Don't you thank God for that? He got help from a spouse. Thank God for a good spouse. Amen. Right there. But ultimately, and every time, he got help from God. And that's where we need to always be reminded. Now, as you get into chapter 20, David and Jonathan get back together. Jonathan is there to protect David again, and Jonathan says, look, David, my dad's not going to do it. He's not going to kill you. He's not going to kill you. You're going to be okay. And the last part of verse 3 is a great statement in the Bible where David said, the last statement in verse 3 of chapter 20, there is but a step between me and death. That's, you know what, folks? That's a statement we all can make. There's but a step between me and death. He said, Jonathan, I know you want to believe the best about your dad, but I'm kind of convinced he's trying to kill me right now, really seriously, you know? And there's but a step between me and death. Now, folks, that's a message we need to preach to this world. Nobody is promised another step. You know, we say, you're not promised another day. We're not promised another hour, another minute, another second, or as David said, another step without the blessing of God. We don't get another step, we don't get another breath without the blessing of God. Amen? Don't you? Thank God. People say, well, I get up every morning, thank God I got up this morning. Thank God for the next breath. That's in His control. And I think that's just a great statement in the Bible David made. There's but a step between me and death. That's a reality. And he was brought close to that reality. I certainly pray that our former president is brought to that reality. I said this morning, you know, he said the right things about thank God and unity and faith. I would like to think it would get him thinking and looking up to God, don't you? Right? We ought to pray for that. Matter of fact, we ought to pray it'll get a lot of people looking up to God. We ought to pray it'll get the current president looking up to God, right? We ought to pray for these things. Why? Because God can protect. And I believe God here in this last part was just showing him, showing Saul, I'm in control. You're not. You're working against me. You're working against me, therefore you're working against your own family. You're working against your own army. You're working against your own nation and your own society. When you work against God, you just really are working against everybody. Well, that's something people need to learn. If we're going against God, hey, if God can be for us, who can be against us? But when we're against God and we got God against us, man, that's a place we don't want to get. Now, we want to pray for the mercy and the help of God. Thank God for His protection. There was a missionary that was being chased and persecuted in Africa. He ran into a cave. He was exhausted. He was praying. He was just waiting to be caught and killed. David had some of those situations in caves as well. So he's in this cave and he's just waiting. He knows, I don't really have anywhere else to go. I can't get out of here. I can't go deeper in the cave, you know, and all of this. And he knows they're going to get him. Well, a spider went to work over the mouth of that cave. And while he sat there and waited, that spider built a web over the mouth of that cave. And when the soldiers that were coming after him showed up, well, he ain't in there. The web's not broken. And he got away. They moved on. You know what that missionary later testified? Where God is, a spider web is a wall. Where God is not, a wall is a spider web. I'd rather be with God. Amen? Don't you want God on your side? If God be for us, who can be against us? We do need to be praying for God's touch, God's mercy on our nation. Our nation needs the protection of God today, right? Don't y'all believe that? Our nation needs the help of God. But apply it to your own self, apply it to your own life, apply it to your own marriage, apply it to your own family and your own church and all of that. We just need to keep looking to God. Here Saul is. He's just with everything he's got. He's going after David. But David knew. I think he knew. He had God's help. He had God's protection. He had God's promised. You're going to be the next king. Do you think he forgot it a few times? Do you think he doubted it a few times? Do you think his faith got weak? Yes, it did. It did. And ours will too. Well, you know what we do? He went to Samuel. We go back to church. We go back to the Word. We go back to prayer. We go back to the promises. That's going back to God. Amen. Like America needs to do today. Right? And may the Lord help us. Say, God, I need that, as the Bible speaks of, I need that hedge of protection. Our nation needs it. When God takes His hand off, you know we're in trouble. But we need it. Let's pray for it. Let's ask God for it. Let's thank God when you know it's there, right? Thank God. Pray for it on your loved ones. Pray for it on yourself. Pray for it on your nation as well. Let's bow our heads right now and pray. Dear Father, we do come before you right now asking you, Lord, for your touch. We're asking you, Lord, for your mercy. We're asking you, Lord, for your protection. God, I do pray for, Lord, our nation right now.